I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 9 to 11 weekdays, giving you a safe space for you independent thinkers. I'm running the political underground railroad for those people who are wanting to escape the two-party platform plantation. I guess that's a better word for it. I don't know if there's many takers these days. There's probably less these days than there was 4 years ago, but that's unfortunate. I'm sure people will realize soon enough that none of these people are actually there to represent you. And a lot of people now think Donald Trump loves you. Other people think Joe Biden and the big federal government loves you. Pretty soon you'll be betrayed. You'll come back. I'll be here for you. So I'm trying to. Yeah, this is the Underground Railroad for those seeking to get off of this crazy, crazy system we've got right now. Next hour, before we get into the obvious news of the day, next hour will be, as every Wednesday, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. And I've got a guest today. Her name is Megan Pennington. And she does some one-on-one consults with people to help them reclaim their health. She's an integrative health and practitioner and nutritionist. So I'm very excited to have her on. We're going to talk about some studies that were related to COVID. Not unsurprisingly on this show, she will talk about nutrition and even some vitamin D stuff around COVID, and not just COVID, but the flu and everything else. So anyway, we'll have Megan Pennington on next hour. So my quotes of the day are, I try to always get my quotes of the day to kind of reflect what is coming up in the show going forward. And so my quotes of the day today, first one is from Herbert Marcuse. He said, free election of masters does not abolish the masters or the slaves. And then my favorite one for today is from Thomas Jefferson, where he said, the government you elect is the government you deserve. And I guess we've got what we deserve right now. So I broke almost a rule for me in my personal life, which is I don't spend a lot of time watching politicians talk. I watch news. I'll hear clips. I've tuned into some of the health things before, some of the health press conferences to find out how draconian they were going to be on us, locking us down and the rest of the stuff. But by and large, I try to stay away from listening to hours and hours of lies and pandering. But I broke that rule last night and decided I would tune in to the debates. I actually went to the store yesterday and I got some popcorn. I have to admit, I mean, I guess just the idea of everybody grab your popcorn and watch, this is going to be something to see, seeped into my subconscious, and I bought some popcorn last night. And what I left the debate thinking is, and here's the funny thing, I'll comment on it a little bit today if you want to call in about the debate, 601-879-0002. But nothing that I say is going to change anybody's minds. Very little of what was said last night changed anybody's minds across the country. Most people's minds are made up, so I'll give you my take on what it is, and I expect some people to receive it. Maybe you agree, but if you don't agree, I'm not going to change your mind. Nobody's mind gets changed these days. We are all so right. I looked at the debate last night, and I thought to myself, wow, we have got 330 million Americans. That is a lot of people. 330 million people live in this country. Now, not all of them are adults, but you know, there's 200 million adults in this country. And I looked at the stage last night, and this will trigger people on both sides of the aisle, which I don't care. I'm giving you the observer's point of view. This should be of some value. Here's what's interesting to me about politics. I did a lot of time in the restaurant business. And occasionally we would change a menu and we would try a new menu item, new entree, new dessert, something like that. And what you wanted to do, if you were running the restaurant, is you wanted to see when you first rolled this menu item out, you wanted to go out and do table visits. If somebody bought something, you wanted to go out to the table and say, well, you know, how is everything? How did you enjoy that? You might even say, oh, that's something new on the menu. How did you like it? Well, if you're a good business person and you're trying to make your restaurant better and more popular and do the things that business people do, you take the feedback and you store it in your brain and you go and you adjust. If everybody says, wasn't really that great, wasn't very good, then what you do is you remove that item ultimately from your menu, or you tweak it, or you change the recipe. What you don't do is what we do in politics, which is when somebody comes into your restaurant and you go out and you ask them about their menu item and they say, I didn't really like it. You don't go, well, that's just because you're stupid. That's just because you've got no palate whatsoever. You're obviously an idiot because that's a good dish. The way we approach politics is that if anybody says anything that's critical, we just tell them they're retarded. That's their problem. We take no constructive criticism across the board. I looked at two men last night and thought, out of 330 million Americans, this is the best we can do. It's over. We're done for as a country. Now, that will insult some people, but, you know, as an observer, I'll just tell Trump supporters out there, I watched a bit of insanity last night. I think it would be interesting to see if there is a second debate. Joe Biden, I don't think he's up for these debates. I don't think he wants to do these debates. Many of us were surprised he showed up to even do one. But if he wanted a reason to get out of the next two debates, he's got it now. Of course, it'll be chicken. I mean, you know, everybody who's a Trump supporter will accuse him of running for the hills. And, you know, he somehow got on the stage for 90 minutes last night and didn't wet himself. So that's a victory for Joe Biden. But it won't matter to the general electorate. The electorate, there's plenty of an excuse for Joe Biden. He'll get a lot of cover from people on the left to go, look, he doesn't need to go in there and do that stuff again. Last night was completely, I won't say worthless. I think Trump had a strategy last night. And the strategy was go at him and go at him hard until you break him. And I don't think he did that. And even worse than that, is that Trump interrupted Joe Biden when he was on the cusp of failing. Now, Trump has done this many, many times. He can't seem to get out of his own way. A lot of times there'll be a big story about one of his opponents or a Democrat, or they'll undercover some corruption somewhere or something. That'll be the story of the day. And then Trump will suddenly tweet out in the middle of it something crazy. And the story shifts from the corruption or trouble that somebody else is in, one of the people he is opposed to, the story will shift right back to him. He gets in the way of other people's mistakes. He won't let them fail. And it's not on purpose. It's just he cannot help himself. I was already in a laughing mood at the whole debacle last night, before it even started, when I heard them say they will not be shaking hands. And I thought, wow. This is two guys vying for the office of the presidency of the United States, of the most powerful nation that has ever existed on planet Earth. They are both tested for coronavirus. I would imagine daily. They're little bubbles so tightly controlled around this wicked virus. And these two incredibly powerful men seeking this powerful office in this powerful country won't shake hands because they might get a bug on them. So I already knew we were probably in a little bit of trouble. I would just tell people at this point, buy gold, buy guns, buy butter, buy all those things you need to prep for. Because if last night was a sign of things to come. Now, I've heard and seen a lot of criticism of Chris Wallace on this thing, and I'll certainly am no Chris Wallace fan. I've been warning people about Fox News for 15 years. kind of like I say, I'm running the Underground Railroad for people who want to get off this two-party political plantation. I got off the Fox News thing, kind of deprogrammed myself from it when I realized how badly they were manipulating me and pandering to me as a conservative. So I've been telling people about Fox News for well over a decade now. But Chris Wallace, I mean, he carried some water for Joe Biden last night. There's no doubt about that. Some of his questions were odd. But what I find kind of interesting is, I don't know, how hard is it to beat Joe Biden and Chris Wallace? Now, we'll talk about it in just a second. How hard is it to beat Joe Biden? Is it something that Trump should break a sweat doing? But for Chris Wallace, maybe, and I'm just saying, I'm just putting this out there, maybe Trump tweeting negative things and insulting Chris Wallace just about every month for the last 6, 8, 9, 10 months, whatever it's been, that he's been on the attack, calling him, he's not his dad, he's a joke, all these things. Maybe that wasn't the right strategy. Maybe Chris Wallace didn't go in there with the most impartial mind. Now, is that professional? No, of course not. If he's going to moderate a debate for the presidency of the United States, he needs to put all his personal feelings aside. But it's very funny that we all can sit here and say that, yet none of us will suffer. I mean, a lot of people listening to me right now, you can't even take it if somebody on Facebook says something negative about a post you do. So maybe insulting Chris Wallace for the last year did not lay the groundwork for the most evenly moderated thing. Again, I'm no Chris Wallace fan, but I find it just a little interesting. I don't know. There's a lot of shrinking violets out there. Of course, I watched, kind of clipped across networks this morning to watch it, and guess who the winner of the debate was last night? Guess who the winner of the debate was last night if you watched MSNBC today? Guess who the winner was if you watched Fox News this morning? Because nothing is actually real. Nothing. There's no objective truths anymore. It is all red or blue glasses. If you liked Trump going in there, you think he steamrolled Joe Biden. And if you hated Donald Trump before that debate started, you had every example of exactly why you hate Donald Trump last night. And I've got a couple of just questions about some of the points that were brought up. Again, if you want to weigh in, I mean, I guess I'm open to anybody who just tells me that this was just a slam dunk for Donald Trump. Because, again, I leave myself scratching my head saying, how hard is it to beat Joe Biden? The truth of the matter is, this election is not between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This election is between Donald Trump versus Donald Trump. The people who love him versus the people that hate him. And the balance of those things. Joe Biden inspires nobody. Nobody cares about Joe Biden. Nobody thinks Joe Biden's long for this world. Nobody thinks Joe Biden's got cutting-edge great proposals. Nobody cares about Joe Biden. It is Donald Trump versus Donald Trump. And I'm not sure who won and who lost last night in that race. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I will say one thing about last night's debate. I think it was the perfect illustration of the United States in 2020. I mean, I guess, is that a positive? It sounded like a Twitter feed, like a Twitter fight between people, like a comment section fight on The Hill. If you ever see a story linked and you go read anything on The Hill online, go down to the comment section and listen to the six-year-olds battle it out over Trump versus Biden. It sounded like them. And the funny thing is, I mean, how freely can I talk about this stuff with the listening audience? I'm going to trigger people. I thought it was a joke. Now, I am always come at these things anyways, a libertarian. I don't need a leader. You know what I mean? I'd like to see somebody normal with some good business sense, somebody that would like to get a smaller government, that's a good statesman going abroad and representing the United States. But I don't need somebody rolling out a new health care plan for me. I need them to get the hell out of health care all across the board. So all of the promises, all those things just fly right over my head. Don't promise me anything. And usually debates are just a bunch of pandering and lies. And last night was a bunch of pandering and lies, too. Trump had a couple of runs there where I thought he really did well. He got a couple of times where he was uninterrupted. Joe Biden interrupted just about as much as Donald Trump did. Donald Trump just did it louder. But Trump got a couple of good runs in there. Honestly, when I looked back on it, I should have been taking notes while I was watching it, but I was really just kind of laughing majority of the time. I couldn't really focus on what was being said. But there were a couple of times where I went, hey, he got one in there. But that they were lost in the chaos of the event itself. But it really illustrates where America is right now. Just everybody screaming at each other. Everybody, this national agitation we all have. People agitated at me right now because I'm not coming on air and telling you that Trump steamrolled Joe Biden last night. And that if there was anything wrong, it was just that Chris Wallace was unfair. Was Chris Wallace unfair? Yeah, sure, he was. Are we expecting something different? Do you have to, after 4 years, maybe figure out how to nuance your way around that kind of stuff? I mean, it's not like a hostile media is new to Donald Trump. I did wonder last night. I mean, and the most frustrating thing was, too, you could see, I mean, everybody was watching the debate for one main reason. I would say the overarching thing was, can Joe Biden make it 90 minutes without having just a complete mental freeze and just looking like he doesn't know where he is? And there were a couple of moments in that debate last night where I thought he was about to get there. It was about that. I almost felt bad. I mean, it was just the basic human emotion of just going, oh, this is going to be ugly. And you know, I just have some empathy for people. I can't stand Joe Biden. So I would pull myself out of that sympathy, knowing that this guy's been a parasite tick on the butt of the American society for 47 years now. But a couple of times I was kind of starting to cringe. And then, then Donald Trump would interrupt him right when I think he was about to show his real mental decline. A lot of talk last night about healthcare. There's a lot of people I've seen commenting. This is how I kind of get my taste of everything. I watch all the news channels. I don't talk to a lot of people before I come into the show at 9 o'clock in the morning. I've talked to a couple of people since the debate. But I go into comment sections on various sources just to kind of see what everybody's saying. And a lot of people were saying, well, they didn't talk about this and they didn't talk about that. And to be honest with you, before the thing even started, I made a list of things that they weren't going to talk about at the debate. But obviously, this particular, out of three debates, they can't talk about every single issue. So they chop them up between, you know, the next one may be foreign policy, one that I'm very interested in. Joe Biden is a warmonger. He's a warmongering neocon Zionist. He said it himself. So I would love to see Joe Biden have to defend Libya and Syria and the rest of the mess that we got into during the Obama administration. But that wasn't the questions of last night. So you know, I'd like him to see them talk about the debt. I'll be very interested to see if through three debates they even get through a conversation about the debt on the United States. It's actually an issue. I know we've all been convinced it's no big deal. The politicians convince you that it's no big deal by not talking about it. And when they talk about it, they say, yeah, well, it's not sustainable. We need to do something, but we owe most of it to ourselves. Ridiculous platitudes like this that only the least informed among us would buy. But I would like to see them get around to the debt. I don't know if they will. I don't know if there'll be other debates. I think Joe Biden got an excuse last night. It would be lame. I mean, I wouldn't support it. It would be a chicken move, but Joe Biden doesn't do himself any favors doing a debate. He did what he needed to do last night. He stood up for 90 minutes. I mean, that's where the bar was. Could Joe Biden stand up for 90? He looked like a skeleton. His eyes were bugged out. He looked so feeble and so old. And if Donald Trump had just sat back and allowed Joe Biden to show us Joe Biden last night, he would have. I think Joe Biden would have made so many unforced errors. I could be wrong, but I think the style last night was bad. I did think Donald Trump got caught in one thing last night that was really very surprising to me and has been for months now. Where in the hell is the Republican or Donald Trump health care plan? Now, look, I don't want one. I can't stand the idea of repealing Obamacare and replacing it. How about repealing Obamacare and turning it back to the free markets where prices go down and service goes up? Look across the spectrum of the truly free market. And that's what you will find. You'll find televisions that originally cost $5,000 you can now get for $149 with more features. That's what the free market does. But after all this time, this has been, what, 10 or 12 years that the Republicans campaigned? They gave us the old head fake on three different elections. If you elect us, we'll get rid of Obamacare, and they never did it. And then we gave them the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they still didn't get rid of Obamacare. Well, it's in the courts, Mike. Well, yeah, okay, 12 years later. But there is still no, and again, I don't want this. I'm not looking for a health. Please tell me what we're going to do with health. I don't care about that. Leave it alone. Get out of health care altogether. But how is it possible that the Republicans and Donald Trump, he gets a lot of questions on that. Why don't they put together something? Just something so they can actually say what it is. All I heard last night was, it's going to be great. Donald Trump at one time in the debate last night said he's reducing prescription drug prices 80 to 90%. How is that possible? Donald Trump met with the pharmaceutical company executives who have six lobbyists for every member of Congress, and he got them to just never take a profit again? Or does that just mean that the taxpayer is going to be on the hook for the 80 or 90% that people are paying right now? We're just going to shift all of that over to the government so that's really what the pharmaceutical companies want. They want the government paying for as many drugs as they possibly can, because if the out-of-pockets are small for the American people and we don't have to pay attention to price, then they can charge whatever the hell they want to because they own our Congress and our White House. But how in the world is it possible that Donald Trump cannot say, here are the details of the health care plan we're going to roll out if I'm reelected at this late stage in the game? I don't get that. And I've watched him flail on that topic for the last 3 or 4 months. And again, the Republicans have been campaigning on this for at least 10 years now. Now, there was some stuff on the race stuff. Biden says Antifa is an idea and not a group. If last night had featured more Joe Biden, Donald Trump would have won that thing standing still again. I keep asking this question. Everybody thinks that Donald Trump is a fighter and he's this guy. He's taking it to him. I just keep saying, is it effective? How hard is it to beat Joe Biden and the radical left in this country? The vast majority of the American citizens have not completely lost their mind. A lot of people are just checked out. Even a lot of those that are checked out that don't normally vote are noticing the riots and the true insanity, the girls participating, and I mean the boys participating in girls' sports. You know, some of that weirdness that's going on the left right now. There's a lot of people that they don't really care about politics. They're not loyal to Donald Trump, but they can look at the left just objectively, even if they don't pay attention, and go, what are you talking about? What do you mean there's no biological sex? I mean, the left has gone so much. So my question is, how is it possible that Donald Trump this is not a cakewalk for him? Oh, the media is after him. So it doesn't matter. The people that are checked out that are the kind of the undecideds or the people who don't vote, there's 100 million people in this country, something like that, that do not vote. Maybe that's high. Oh, that may be about right. We usually get about 120 million people, 130 million people vote. Probably another 100 million people that don't even vote here. How hard is it to reach out to them and go, I mean, you know, you may not like politics, you may not like me, but look at what we're dealing with here. look at what the left is proposing for this country. They're going to rebuild every building in the country, this Green New Deal. I mean, how hard is it to beat Joe Biden and the Democrats right now? I don't care if they've got media carrying water for them. I don't care if Chris Wallace was mean to Donald Trump last night. How hard is it to beat Joe Biden? It seems like it's actually become difficult at this point. Now, I know. I try to anticipate what I think I'll hear. All the polls are wrong. The polls are never right. Okay, I mean, I'm kind of with you on there. Democratic oversampling and all that stuff too. I guess I just want to see one poll by some fairly conservative side. I mean, you got the Wall Street Journal. You got Fox News. We lost faith in Fox News finally. There's got to be some poll out there that would show Donald Trump at 65% with what the Democrats are proposing right now. You would think there'd be at least one poll out there that might sneak through. You know, that's not done by somewhere inside of a campaign, an actual poll. But everybody just has this faith, oh, Donald Trump's going to win in a landslide. You're going to be shocked. It's going to be a complete landslide. I mean, I will be shocked. But I look at last night, I look at this whole campaign, I just say, how hard is it to beat a 47-year career parasite politician with no ideas and no charisma who's in got mental decline? And the simple fact of the matter is that is a very easy candidate to beat. I'm talking about most of the people listening to the sound of my voice. If given the platform that Donald Trump has, you could beat Joe Biden. And that's why I say Trump is not even going against Joe Biden. Trump is going against Donald Trump. He's dividing the country into people who love him and people who hate him. And that is the difference. That's the decision that's going to be made coming up. Joe Biden is like a placeholder. He's like a, hey, he's a weekend at Bernie's candidate. They're propping up somebody just as a catcher for all the we hate Donald Trump votes. And Trump's style, I think, last night fed a lot of that. You disagree? 601-879-0002.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You've tuned into a different kind of show because I don't carry water for the Republican Party or Donald Trump on conservative radio. I call it like I see it. I'm a small, limited government, constitutional guy, and I think Donald Trump's faltered on a lot of those core beliefs. He just did a $500 billion plan, which seems to me like reparations light. He just bought off or attempted to buy off senior citizens, was sending everybody in the next couple of weeks, all senior citizens get $200 cash card. It costs $6.6 billion. I am unimpressed with those kinds of things. So I'm that observer. Again, you know, if you're curious to know what somebody who is not in love or in hatred with Donald Trump, I'm on neither side of those things. Everything he does, I judge on that thing. I don't have an overarching thing. I do not like Donald Trump's personality, but I don't really care about personalities. If the biggest jerk in the world was president of the United States and was shrinking the government, then I would say, I don't know, I might not want to have a beer with the guy, but I'm sure damn glad he's our president. That's just not the president that Donald Trump's turned out to be for me. But these things now are Rorschach tests. You know, we see what we want to see. It was funny listening to the pre-debate stuff about the earpiece and about whether or not Biden asked for breaks. You don't know if any of that is true or not true. Trump's campaign seemed pretty adamant that they ask for breaks every 30 minutes, and the Trump campaign said no. The Biden campaign said, we never asked for that. That's ridiculous. When you're dealing with politicians, you're dealing with liars. So who knows what the truth of that is? Same thing with an earpiece. They agreed to an inspection that there would be no earpieces, and then right before Biden's people, it's a brilliant thing to throw out there. If it's a lie, if it's the truth, then it's just more political theater is really all it is. I was surprised about one thing, and maybe I don't understand. Now, as an outsider, somebody who's not a MAGA guy, are the Proud Boys a white supremacist organization? Am I missing something? I've seen interviews with people involved in the Proud Boys. I've seen black members of the Proud Boys. It seems to me the Proud Boys are, I believe they're largely Trump supporting, but they are, you know, they are kind of the counterbalance to Antifa, but not because they're white supremacists, because they can't stand socialists and communists. And I was surprised last night that Donald Trump didn't make that point, unless he did and I missed it in all of the crosstalk. They tried to box him in with that ridiculous comment, ridiculous question from Chris Wallace. Will you right now condemn all white supremacists? I don't know why Donald Trump wouldn't just say, of course I do. But these groups you're talking about are not white supremacist groups. The Proud Boys are not white supremacists. They're pro-Constitution, pro-America groups. And I'm pro-Constitution. You know, he could have said, and I wouldn't believe he's pro-Constitution, but he could have said, I'm pro-Constitution, I'm pro-America, so they support me. Joe Biden said that Antifa is not a group. It's just an idea. I thought Trump started going after him pretty well on law and order stuff. He scored a couple of points there, but again, I think he didn't give Joe Biden room to fail. But I think that this would be a trigger alert to a lot of people. I don't guess I'm making any friends. I'm just telling you what the outside world sees. If you are a hyper-partisan, if you are a Republican or a Democrat, and that's just what you are, you always will be. If you're one of the people who says Donald Trump could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, it would never change him. There's nothing that he could do that would mean you would not vote for him. Then I'm just giving you the perspective of somebody who does not feel that way. And there's a lot of people like me in the country that just don't happen to be on conservative talk radio these days. And I'll tell you right now, and again, trigger alert, I think Donald Trump is the worst communicator I've ever seen. Now, he is fantastic for rallying a group. And this is what's beautiful about him as a businessman. For branding purposes, it's great to kind of come up almost with a character. And his character was one of success and big gold letters and people who want to aspire to succeed, join in on that thing. But the stakes are fairly low there. And you adjust to try to, you know, catch the market where you want to get them. It's branding. It can be very, very effective in branding. For trying to supposedly lead, and all of these things I say, like leading a country, kind of repulse me as a libertarian. I don't want to be led. I just want to be left alone. But if you want to lead 330 million very, very diverse people, diverse geographically, diverse racially, diverse ethnically, diverse religiously, diverse racially, creating an image that is really appealing to 30% of those people, I don't think is effective. And his communication is entirely based around that. Again, I just keep asking this question. How hard is it to really beat Joe Biden? He has got to be. Now, I don't know. I'd have to go look back and look at Dukakis or Mondale or some of these other candidates who really got slaughtered at the polls and see them. But they were at least younger. I mean, I don't think either one of those people was in danger of forgetting where they were during a debate. I think Joe Biden has got to be the weakest candidate. Now, Hillary Clinton was probably the most hated candidate. She was a terrible candidate because people were on to how criminal, corrupt she was. But she was coherent. She certainly was a politician. She's a slimy, lying, pandering piece of filth. So that fits right into politicians. Joe Biden has just about darn near every weakness you could possibly have as a candidate. He's old. He's frail. He's failing mentally. He doesn't even have his whole party behind him. And Donald Trump did score a couple of points last night that might have separated him from some of the left. The problem is that those people that might have left Joe Biden last night, because he kind of disavowed some of the far leftists. Some of those people that might have left Joe Biden left that debate hating Donald Trump even more because of his style. And they said, well, he may be not going to give us the Green New Deal, but we can't have four more years of that. Is that, does that make any sense to anybody? Donald Trump doesn't give you a place to come to, in my opinion, as an outsider. There's talk about Donald Trump has problems with the suburban woman vote. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Are all the polls wrong? And that the suburban, because it does feel like, I mean, suburban women, you would think they would be very attractive to law and order stuff. Soccer moms, that kind of demographic. But if he has a problem with that group, I don't know that yesterday was the solution to it. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on if the suburban woman watching has ever been verbally attacked by a man before. If they did, it was probably a pretty triggering event. If they have not, maybe they find that to be strong and powerful. But we're talking about Joe Biden. The fact that there is even a question right now as to who will win this election or if Joe Biden even has a chance right now, I think is an indictment of the style and the strategy of the Donald Trump campaign and many of his supporters. You need to shift. You need to understand there's a weakness there. Understand there's just a weakness there. It's not that everything Donald Trump does is wrong. It's just not clicking. It's Joe Biden. You can't beat Joe Biden. I'm telling you. 90% of the people listening to me right now could beat Joe Biden if you were given the platform and the microphone that Donald Trump is given. It's that easy. Look at the left. They're insane. And while a lot of Americans are uninformed, we're not especially hitting the bullseye on intelligence these days, it doesn't seem like, but we're not mostly insane. I think the insane people are still at least in the minority of this country right now. How hard is it to get the majority of sane people to look at the left and say, this is insane, and get them to your side? Anyway, one more segment on this. I'm going to be thrilled to death to change to talk to our guest today in the Health Show. Because this debate, I know how unpopular my views on this debate are. You wanted me to come on and tell you how Donald Trump steamrolled Joe Biden last night. It was absolutely fantastic. That's just, quite frankly, not what I saw, and I'm not going to be dishonest about it.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag, and now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, final segment on this stuff. The markets sold off a little bit in the futures markets last night after the debate, particularly from what I was reading, the idea that we are going to have a contested election, and I think that seems like almost a certainty at this point. I've had some people reassure me that the Trump landslide will be so huge that it won't even matter. I would certainly prefer that to any kind of protracted election thing, but the markets didn't like it. But they're right back up today, because I think what they did was they went, oh, we forgot. It doesn't matter who the president is to Wall Street. As long as the Federal Reserve keeps printing up all that sweet taxpayer cash, keeps flooding right into Wall Street, it doesn't matter. See, I don't buy this thing that Joe Biden is going to tank the stock market, even if he raises tax rates or anything, because it's not about profits for companies anymore. It's about being able to borrow money at zero and buy back your own stock to juice your compensation. That's about what it's about. And if Joe Biden gets in and starts raising tax rates, look, the Democrats are corrupt and they are beholden to Wall Street too. The Congress critters will get in there and put little carve-outs, make sure that the hedge fund managers aren't touched by new taxes. They will announce these big new headlines for larger corporate taxes, but the Democratic Party is sponsored by the corporations, just like the Republican Party is, and they will make sure there are plenty of carve-outs and corporate tax deductions to where taxes are not significantly raised. Before Donald Trump's tax policy, where he lowered capital gains rates on corporations, still it was, you know, companies like GE were paying anywhere between 0 and 3% in federal taxes because GE bought our government a long time ago, along with the rest of the corporate masters of Washington, D.C. So the stock market realized it. It's up heavy today. Nice up, green day. They don't care about election chaos. They don't care if Joe Biden wins. They don't care if Donald Trump wins. They just want to make sure that whoever gets into the White House still plays the game of zero interest rates, which both Donald Trump and Joe Biden will play. And as long as they continue to enable the Federal Reserve to keep just churning out billions and billions of dollars a day in fresh taxpayer-backed cash, that's all the market cares about. It's all it's cared about for the last 12 years. Donald Trump takes credit for the stock market. I ask everybody, well, why did the stock market go up so much under Obama? Did he deserve credit for it? And people will say, well, no, but Donald Trump does deserve credit for it. No, neither one of them deserve credit for what's happening in the stock market. The Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, Janet Yellen, and Jerome Powell, your last three Federal Reserve chiefs, they deserve the credit for stock market performance because they're the ones juicing this bubble. Now, when it comes to presidents and just the system that we have wrought upon ourselves, the poor founding fathers just spinning in their graves. Here's just a headline that's on MarketWatch where I pulled up the market to see what it was doing. It says, how Trump and Biden tax policies could affect your paycheck, comma, tax return, comma, investment portfolio, and nest egg. That's gross. We've got to sit around and wait on to see which of the two human beings are going to dramatically affect our financial futures. Because we've allowed the federal government at the hands of Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or George W. Bush, we've allowed this federal government to reach into every nook and cranny of our lives, and we cheer for it. People line up behind these people. You fly flags with politicians' names on it. I'm with her. You wear a T-shirt that says, I'm with her. I want her to control my life. This is why I don't see a winner in the debate last night. I see a bunch of losers. I see 330 million losers in last night's debate and just about everything that goes on in Washington, D.C. So pardon me if I don't pick and cheer for, rally for, one of these two people to decide what happens to your nest egg, your investment portfolio, your paycheck, your tax return. They shouldn't be involved in any of those things. This country was founded not in that way. And we've lost sight of that in this political bickering, this two-party con job that they're giving us. We would have been so much better off if they had gotten a constitutional party candidate on that stage last night, a Libertarian Party candidate on that stage last night. That would have shown me something. That might have brought something interesting out. The way it stands right now, we get nothing new, and we deserve it. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is Wednesday, so every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a little break from typical topics and we get into natural health news you can use. In this segment, I have labeled Hump Day Health. This is designed to be an empowering show to let you know that you don't have to sit around and cross your fingers, that horrible diseases and flus and coronaviruses don't get you, that you've got some level of control if you will take it upon yourself to do your own research and take control of your health. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not an infectious disease expert. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a nurse. I'm nothing. I got no certifications, no formal study in any of this stuff, just fascinated because I've reclaimed my own health about 15 years ago, and I think it's something that everybody needs to start begin to think about. But I do have someone with me today that has got some of these certifications, and we're going to talk today to Megan Pennington. Megan is an integrative health practitioner. We're going to talk a little bit about what integrative medicine is, too, because this is something that I think it seems to be gaining some popularity and something that you can look for in your practitioner. But Megan is an integrative health practitioner and food sensitivity specialist, helping clients reverse chronic illness. She specializes in reducing inflammation, a common root cause of immune system dysregulation and modern disease. She began her career as a clinical dietitian. We're also going to talk about the wild world of nutritionists out there, but soon discovered that limitations of dividing a person into separate parts, learning that all factors involved in disease progression should be addressed for lasting results. Today, Megan uses specialized testing combined with the customized diets and full spectrum healing methods to retain the body's biochemistry and bring it back to a state of natural health. And I think that's really lost on so many of us that, you know, your body is always striving to get to its natural state, which is good health. We are interrupting that. We've got this just amazing body that repairs itself. And if you give it the right raw materials that it needs, it will function very well for you. And we have kind of missed that over the years. But anyway, we got Megan with us. Megan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about you. I wanted to hit on a couple of things. One is just the idea of integrative medicine. This is something that I don't know if it's new, but you're starting to see it more and more as a lot of even the medical profession starts to realize you need to treat the whole body. So I'd like to talk about integrative medicine and also what, you know, I see a lot of nutritionists on television, mainstream nutritionists coming on the big network shows or local shows. It seems like their advice is outdated or misguided, but they have this formal training in nutrition, so I'd like to talk about that. But start off with what do you mean by being an integrative health practitioner?
Perfect. So, well, first of all, I love what you said about our body being able to repair itself if we just get out of the way, because that is basically what integrative health is all about. It's about allowing the body to naturally heal itself and to implement those different techniques that allow it to do that. So integrative just means that instead of focusing on like the heart, for example, you're focusing on reducing stress, on sleeping properly, on diet, on your relationships, like your fulfillment in life, so that as a being, we're looking at all these pieces that really affect our health in a very major way,
right,
and allowing it to just do its own thing.
Right. And I think a lot of times, you know, my health experience was I had all of these different symptoms before I switched my diet, started paying attention to what I was eating. And you can't really connect one to another. I mean, I did a lot of medicating for symptoms. I had bad stomach problems, so I would take, Imodium. I think I might have bought it by the three-pack for a while there when I was in my early 30s. But we don't really, when we don't drill down to get the cause, all we do is tamp down those symptoms. And it's not always really intuitive as what's connected to what. And that's confusing to people, if that makes sense. You know, if you're having heart problems, we address that particular heart problem, but don't look at what digestive issues, what foods we're eating that may be leading to the heart problem. And this seems to be where a lot of the confusion is with people.
For sure.
Well, tell us also about nutrition. So you studied as a nutritionist?
Mm-hmm. So I went through the traditional nutrition program, you know, became a clinical dietitian. And it was interesting because even within my first 4 years, so it's a bachelor program, even within that time frame, I actually became the most unhealthy version of myself that I had ever been. I gained 30 pounds. I started having digestive issues. I was super upset obsessed with like healthy eating and calorie counting. And I got, you know, congested, I got headaches, allergies, like a lot of things progressed in that 4 years. And that was my first inclination that something about focusing on one single factor, such as food, is not the way to actual health, because it was stressing me out. It was making me obsessed. It was just causing a lot of problems. And the program itself, how it's structured to be very stressful in terms of exams and such, that also didn't get addressed. So that stress was causing a lot of these issues. And so that was the start of my career. So I did become a dietitian, but I was disillusioned right off the bat. And then when I began working as a clinical dietitian in a long-term care facility, it just got worse. Like, it was very disheartening to see that it was so limited in what I could do to really help somebody. I didn't want to just tell them what not to eat and what to eat, and that was about it. Like, there was so much more that I couldn't address, and I realized that just wasn't the path for me.
Well, you're talking to us. You're actually in Canada. Do you have the food pyramid type thing? I know you're familiar with the U.S. Do you have is it the same as it is in the U.S.?
It's not the same, but it's similar.
So that is one of the things that I've seen through just for the last, I don't know what it's been here in the United States, 30 or 40 years. I've really been paying attention for about 15. But we have this food pyramid that it certainly seems like there's a lot of evidence that it is upside down in a lot of cases. And so when I see mainstream nutritional advice come out, and this is not to indict every nutritionist out there, but I just see so many examples of nutritionists that come out and tell us to make sure we're eating, low-fat diets. They'll actually, talk about maybe going for sugar-free options of things. And it doesn't seem like that's real helpful nutritional advice. We've had this training for nutrition here in the U.S., I don't know if you've noticed it up north, but we've become the fattest country on planet Earth, and we've been following this traditional nutritional advice for so long, and it seems like they are still trapped in a lot of the old ideas of nutrition that are being disproven.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, and it's not their fault, because I was there too, and I believed everything my professors said in the textbooks, but the problem with dietetics training is that it really looks at markers. So you look at how to decrease your cholesterol, how to meet all the specific nutrients and the macronutrients, and it's really a numbers game, and that is not health. Health isn't about numbers. So it's leaving out all of these other pieces and not looking at the person as a whole. And when you just try to decrease cholesterol by any means possible, but not looking at how healthy that sugar replacement is or
right.
that low-fat diet is on other factors, then you're really missing the mark. You might be helping one marker, but then all the other ones get disbalanced because you don't have appropriate nutrition.
Right, right. Artificial sweeteners are one thing I talk a lot about on this show that I think have not been a benefit to people. Low-fat diet is another. Grains that we consume here in just absolutely massive quantities. Why do you think that takes place in nutritional training, obviously, maybe in Canada and the U.S.? Is it a level of stubbornness that they won't change tax? And here's kind of the whole basis of this show is that the health results in the United States have been getting steadily worse. Now, if you were in a car accident in the U.S., now is the time to be in that accident because the surgeries and the technologies and putting a broken body back together are like they've never been before. It's truly amazing stuff. But when it comes to keeping people healthy, we are really going in the wrong direction, but it doesn't seem like the advice changes at all. They just keep going with the stuff that has led us down this path. Why do you think they don't change?
Well, there's a lot of theories about that. The one that I choose to believe is true, apart from like corruption and things like that, is that it's just more of they don't want to overwhelm people and update things consistently because the literature is always changing. And so things tend to happen in policy making very, very slowly because they don't want people to completely probably become disheartened with the process or the advice that's been given. They don't want to completely tarnish their own reputation, and so these changes happen very, very slowly.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, here in the U.S., and I don't know, how have the health statistics, what's the trend of health in Canada? Is it any different than the U.S., or are you experiencing the same rises in obesity? And, you know, we've got Alzheimer's, autism, diabetes. Is we're down in Mississippi, and it's like a diabetes time bomb went off here. Are y'all experiencing those same kinds of problems with chronic conditions exploding?
Yes, it's pretty much the same. And the to go back to your other question about why this is happening, that things are continuing to get worse, I think it really comes back to also the fact that the medical system is still looking at people in parts. So they're treating the heart disease as some separate entity to the rest of their body, and that just doesn't work. So if you're not getting to the root cause, then people just continue to get sicker and medicated, and that doesn't work anymore. That model probably never did work, but it's starting to really become apparent that it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of I remember I started shopping for organic foods and those, you know, changing diet about 15 years ago, and the sections in the store were very small, you know, maybe 6 feet wide, one shelf was organic food. Now it's about four aisles, so it seems like it's catching on. So I guess that's a that's a good sign. It's I think it's gotten patently or painfully obvious that the approach we've been taking for a while is not working. We got to take a quick break. I want to talk a little bit about your practice and how you work with people, and then we've got some studies in relation to COVID and just general immunofunction in relation to vitamin D and other things that are valuable not only during coronavirus but during colds and flus and other kinds of diseases too. So we'll get to that in just a second. We're talking to Megan Pennington. She's an integrative health practitioner, so we're going to kind of look at the whole body today as we talk to her. So stay with us. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
All night with the King.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back, and we're talking to Megan Pennington. She's an integrative health practitioner, and she does some online stuff, so we're going to talk a little bit about Megan's practice. Megan, I wanted to find out kind of, you know, what you see from typical people. I think a lot of people listen to this show are looking to get started, and it can be very confusing, so... You know, how do you work with patients? What do you see a lot of? What's some of your kind of opening advice? What should people be thinking about if they want to improve their health?
Okay. So basically the best piece of advice I can give is to dig deeper. So always look at, instead of just the symptoms and like, oh my gosh, I have this digestive issue, I need to go to my GI doctor. Look at your whole body. So are you experiencing headaches? This is what I see a lot, a combination of headaches or migraines, digestive issues, irritable bowel symptoms like diarrhea or constipation, also skin breakouts like acne or psoriasis or eczema, any kind of autoimmune condition, if you have celiac, if you have psoriasis, if you have Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid issue, so any kind of immune system dysregulation. All of these can point to a underlying problem of inflammation and immune stimulation. So often what I do for clients is we test their immune triggers right away, because that tends to get rid of most of the problems, and then we see what's left over. So when you address this common underlying problem, then 80% of their symptoms, these chronic symptoms that all seem unrelated, will get resolved or significantly improved. And then we can really hone in on if anything is left, like a bacterial imbalance or a something structurally wrong with the spine, or, you know, something that that isn't included in that root cause, because there can be multiple things going on.
Well, what do you find are some of the common things that would cause inflammation and an immune response that people might not be aware of?
Food is the biggest one. So anything that comes from the outside, our environment, into the body has a potential to trigger the immune system. So that includes water, it includes the air that we breathe, and it includes food. And then there's bacteria and viruses and different particles, toxins that come in as well. So the one that we're doing constantly 3 or 4 times a day is eating. And that's the one that people usually miss out on. Usually we can get a water filter, we can, you know, go outside and breathe fresh air. We can limit the toxins and that in our environment and in our diet. But what people are not realizing usually is that foods are triggering the immune system as well.
Well, how do you figure out what it might be that you're having a problem with? Is this a situation of keeping a food diary, of doing an elimination diet, or what is the approach to try to determine what causes your individual problem?
Yeah, so the easy way is to get a blood test that shows the volume of mediators released by the immune cells. So it's called an MRT test, mediator release test, and that's really the fastest, most efficient way of doing it because it really captures all of the non-allergic reactions. And what I mean by that is that there's two immune pathways. There's food sensitivities and food allergies. And allergies are an IgE-mediated reaction, which is when you get like anaphylactic reaction to peanuts, your throat closes up. That type of reaction is an allergy, whereas these food sensitivities that people generally don't know about are the non-IgE-mediated reactions. So that's what this test captures, and it's very useful. And usually what I see is 20 to 30 foods will be what an individual is reacting to that they have no idea about. And it can be, it usually is a combination of very otherwise healthy foods, because our immune system can become reactive to anything. Anything that happens to slip through the digestive tract undigested can trigger the immune system. And then every time you eat it, it causes an inflammatory response. And so this can include cashews and salmon and kale and oranges and you name it, it can trigger. So that's usually the missing piece for people.
Yeah, and that's what makes it really very difficult. Okay, so that's interesting on the MRT test. Is that something that doctors can order for you? How do people get an MRT test?
So it's fabricated by Oxford Biomedical Technologies, and they certify practitioners who are who you have to have some kind of certification to become to do their training, and then you become certified in implementing the results and being able to order the test. So any doctor would be able to sign up with them and go through the training and then order the test, but not all doctors have done that. And in fact, a lot of doctors don't even know it exists. So a lot of doctors are not able to order it. However, many integrative practitioners, dietitians, chiropractors, those naturopaths, those types of practitioners are more aware and certified to order it.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic place to start. Because the thing about food sensitivities is, you know, you talked about allergic reactions. Boy, those are apparent. I mean, if somebody mm-hmm. understands they've got a peanut allergy, you eat a peanut, you have a severe reaction, you tell yourself, no more peanuts. But for these food sensitivities, you can just eat these things for years, for decades, and not know it's causing you a problem and not be able to figure out what the deal is. With me, it was headaches and IBS and everything. I never really specifically targeted anything because I did kind of a whole sweep of my diet and just changed it pretty radically. Along with my whole family, so I don't know what it was. But boy, I mean, just as the years went by, my body was breaking down and having other little just nagging issues constantly. And that's what most people consider as aging, but it could actually be food sensitivities just building up in your system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, I hear from clients all the time, oh, I just thought it was normal. I thought it was a natural progression as I got older. But it's really not. You can live until 80 and not have any symptoms. That's totally possible. So if ever there is something going on, there's something imbalanced in the body.
Well, we're going to talk in just a second after this next break about some of the vitamin D studies surrounding COVID. I've told people the last few weeks that I almost want to call this the vitamin D show because it seems like it's just one of these things that screams out. We've got a lot of people that are vitamin D deficient, and it seems to be one of the more easy fixes for all of us. So we're going to talk about that next. But you talk about an MRT test that looks at these foods. You know, they talk about finding out your vitamin D levels through a blood test. Is that something people should be doing too? Is this a separate test than an MRT test that would tell you, you know, what your vitamin D levels are and what your other nutrient and vitamin levels are?
Yes, so they're all separate tests. You can get a single vitamin D test that just looks at your vitamin D levels. If someone is very concerned about their vitamin D, it's not expensive. I think it's like $48 or something from some of these online labs that you can just order it. It gets sent to your home. You take a small skin prick and they give you the results within I'm not sure how long. And then there's nutrient panels, which are broader, which can include vitamin D, but also look at the other vitamins and minerals. The one that I like is either SpectraCell or Vibrant America because they do an intracellular test. So it's not just the serum, which is limited in what you can defer from the results. And then MRT looks at the mediators released by the immune system. So it actually is completely separate from a nutritional panel.
So that's interesting. Is that something that anybody could do? I mean, they could facilitate all these tests online outside of a doctor, or is the MRT, is that something that you have to have a doctor involved to do?
MRT really need the practitioner to order it. For example, I'm a practitioner, so anyone can contact me and I can order the test for them. It's a very simple process. And I can also get them the SpectraCell testing as well and stool testing. I pretty much all of the tools that are super useful, I offer in my practice.
Okay, well, tell us real quick. We're going to take a break in just a second, but in just a couple of minutes, tell us how do you work with patients, because you're different than a traditional practice, but in your approach and your interaction with them.
Mm-hmm. So I work online. It's basically by Zoom or phone call if someone isn't comfortable being in front of the being like face to face kind of online, and that really allows us to meet face to face no matter where we are in the world, and that's it's really great during COVID because a lot of people are at home or not really wanting to contact so much. So I had set that up before COVID happened, actually. And it works really well because if any tests are needed, they get mailed and everything else can be done through email follow-up and online face-to-face follow-up.
So you get the results of these kinds of tests and then you begin to give some level of nutritional advice based on the results?
Yeah, it's not just nutritional advice, but any recommendations that would go hand in hand with that. So, for example, if we did an MRT test and there were 20 foods identified, then there's a short protocol that goes along with that, where it's a short elimination protocol where the body can heal and recalibrate, and then a reintroduction piece, and then you're pretty much done the protocol. But then there's the other factors too. We're going to address stress. We're going to address any like emotional traumas that are there or something that's really impeding the body from healing, if that's what the person wants. And we really address anything that could be playing with the immune system in addition to the food.
Ah, very interesting. Yeah, that is a different approach. That certainly sounds, that's integrative for sure. Tell us real quick, what is your website?
It's meganpennington.com.
meganpennington.com. Okay, well, anybody wants to check that out. And you're right, funny, you were certainly prescient in getting online before this all happened, because telemedicine certainly has become the way of the way things are going these days. So you're certainly in the right vein there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're talking to Megan Pennington. She's an integrative health practitioner. When we come back, we're going to talk about some vitamin D studies. It's kind of how the two of us hooked up in the first place when it comes to COVID. And you know, vitamin D levels are important, and there's a lot of research out there. And Megan, I've talked about it for weeks. I'm incredibly frustrated by all of our health authorities that will not empower people and just tell them, hey, this is a good time to have your immune system working properly. They borderline refuse to even address it at any point. A lot of washing your hands, a lot of masks, a lot of social distancing, nothing about arming yourself with information to keep you healthy, you know, year round. So anyway, we'll talk about that in just a second with Megan Pennington, so stay with us.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being.
Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And today we've got Megan Pennington on. She's an integrative health practitioner. She's up in Canada, but integrative health, health is health. We're humans are humans. So, Megan, we originally kind of connected over, you had some research on vitamin D when it comes to coronavirus. I guess is this research specifically targeted towards coronavirus and our response to it?
Yes.
Yeah. I just have been incredibly frustrated. This is the thing for me, and this is the only lens I can see it through. I used to get flus every year, every other year. I got a lot of bronchitis. I had a lot of colds during the course of the when I changed my diet for 15 years, I've not had a single sick day. Not a single sick day for any single thing. Not a bronchitis, not a flu. A couple of times I feel a tickle coming on. I take care of it with vitamin C, vitamin D, and apple cider vinegar, I guess, because that's what I kind of jump on. My point being, I was somebody who wasn't sickly. You know, I was a pretty athletic guy, decent shape and everything, but I would get these little conditions. And when I changed my diet and started paying attention to what I put into my body, none of it has taken hold with me. And it's very frustrating that they will not tell people about that, vitamin D being a big part of that. So tell us a little bit about the studies that you've run across.
Yeah, so vitamin D is implicated in some 200 processes of the body, so it's super important for general health, but particularly the immune system, because it's immunomodulator. So what that means is it helps the immune system regulate itself so that you're not having this hyper-reactivity and inflammation to a pathogen that comes in. And that's what they're seeing with COVID, is that the most severe cases have what's called the cytokine storm, or a hyper-inflammatory reaction that creates the damage, the tissue damage that leads to the lung damage and the other issues that they're seeing even long term. And so by stabilizing the immune system, and vitamin D is a big part of that, we help the body to manage the virus properly.
And this is the case, I mean, you know, when you're talking about vitamin D or even nutrition in general, this is the case not just with COVID, but the annual flu and colds. And, I mean, does this go up into things like cancers and everything? I mean, just for overall health and your body's ability to fight off anything, aren't these things very important?
Yes, inflammation is a cornerstone, or like a root cause, like I mentioned, of most modern diseases and symptoms. And so by regulating that immune response, in which vitamin D is very important, we prevent the risk of all of those, not prevent, but we reduce the risk of all of those modern diseases.
It's kind of interesting talking to you, being up in Canada. Is it especially concerning because you're so much further north than the rest of us that vitamin D deficiency is high up there and people need to pay attention to it?
Yes, though studies have shown that vitamin D deficiency is actually quite prevalent everywhere, even in the climates that allow for more outdoor exposure to sunlight. And the reason the theory is that people, you know, are covering up because of fear of skin cancer, and they're wearing sunscreen all the time, and so they're just inside a lot, maybe in an air conditioned environment in those hot places, and so it tends to be a problem pretty much everywhere, but particularly in the northern areas where there's actually not a lot of exposure during the winter months. In fact, we produce no vitamin D in the winter months up here. However, our liver does store for about 6 months if we're able to get enough during the summer. So it is possible to get enough vitamin D even up here without supplementation. But I always take a trip south because I want to make sure.
Yeah, that's been, you know, for the last 30 or 40 years, they have been telling us to run from the sun. It's very interesting, and I bought into it, and I bought the, you know, the 50 SPS, and you see all this stuff. When you intellectually start thinking about the fact that what they're telling us is that there's this glowing Death Star in the sky that God put above us to kill us all, they've really convinced us to absolutely fear the sun and any exposure to sun. That may be a slight exaggeration, but essentially that's been the message for quite a while, is don't go out in the sun without lathering yourself in chemicals, and these chemicals block vitamin D, and it just seems like it's kind of one of these core things that may be manifesting itself in all of these new conditions, because that's one thing we're starved for.
Mm-hmm. And it's very avoidable. Like, you can still go and get enough vitamin D in 15 to 20, 30 minutes of sunlight if it's at noon when the sun is highest in the sky and it's most powerful. And then you can cover up and go inside. And I wouldn't lather in sunscreen ever, but you can do these other protective measures so that you don't get burned, because that's where the risk comes in, is when you damage your skin. That's where cancer can be developed. But if you're just going out in the sun, there's no fear needed, and you can get a lot of vitamin D in a small amount of time.
Right. Anything else on these studies, or any particular that kind of stood out to you on, you know, how people can either prophylactically, you know, before, you know, when they're just going out in public, whether it's for colds and flus or COVID itself, were there studies that showed kind of what people need to be doing, what their vitamin D levels need to be, and how they get there?
Yep. So the research, there's over 30 studies now. So it's been researched quite a bit, and people are only just now starting to see all these studies come out. But vitamin D has been shown to reduce the risk of COVID infection, to reduce the severity of the disease. It reduces the need for hospitalization and ICU and mechanical ventilation, and it reduces the risk of mortality. So it's really impacting on all of these levels. And in fact, so I'll just give some examples with some actual numbers so people can really get an idea of how impactful this is. One study showed that low vitamin D increased risk of COVID infection by 45% and of hospitalization from COVID by 95%.
Wow.
That's a lot. Another showed that vitamin D deficiency increased risk of COVID diagnosis by 80%. So that study showed an even larger infection rate. After 10 days of hospitalization, severe vitamin D deficiency patients had 50% mortality rate, while those with vitamin D of, there's numbers 10 ng per mil, had a 5% mortality risk. So basically, the higher their vitamin D levels were, the lower their mortality risk was by a phenomenal amount. There was a randomized control study done that showed that high doses of vitamin D as treatment, so even if you have low vitamin D and you get COVID and you go into the hospital, it showed that high doses, if they're given, reduced ICU admission by 96%. So you can just leave the hospital after you get these doses, I think over 3 days, and you don't get admitted to ICU, meaning that the infection was treated.
Right.
That's important. And then optimal vitamin D levels showed that infection, the amount of vitamin D, if you are deficient and you don't want to take a test and you just want to start taking a supplement because you're concerned about it, the studies show that about 10,000 IU per day for several weeks will bring most of the population up to normal amounts in their blood, and then followed by a 5,000 IU per day maintenance for just general health.
Okay, so that's interesting. And, you know, you just laid out a plan for people that cost about $5 to $10 a month. You know, this
not
is
not even. Yeah.
It's so
it's
aggravating.
Very inexpensive.
It is real. It is not. Vitamin D3 is not expensive at all, and just has just heaps on benefits. I don't know if you've ever seen this. People who listen to the show regularly, I'm sorry I keep saying this over and over again, but I read a study, and I think it was PubMed. It was a big, you know, randomized controlled study and all that showed that women with proper vitamin D levels, and I can't remember what the number was. I need to look it up again. I should have it on, you know, easy reach. But women with proper vitamin D levels reduced their chances of breast cancer by 80%. That's 80%.
Wow.
percent. And it's just always been stunning to me that that is not on every OBGYN office door. It's not on billboards. It's not anywhere else, because that was a very stark one. And it was a, you know, officially recognized study, just gets no play.
Yeah. Even I didn't hear about that one. So it's really not. It's, yeah, these informations are not distributed. That's for sure.
Your suspicions on that? I mean, I talk every week here about.
I hope that it's just because everybody is so busy that they don't have time.
Yeah. I mean, the response to COVID and this immune system stuff has been, you know, you're reading all of these studies, and yet now I've got to give some credit. I need to halt myself here because I have been bashing all of our health authorities here in the United States for not mentioning immune function, you know, to just telling everybody, hey, this is a good time to maybe clear up your diet, make sure that you're, you know, you're boosting your immune system. There's plenty of ways you can do that. I've been really, Anthony Fauci was asked a question. This is, I'm sure you're familiar with Fauci. He was asked a question, and he did say there were some positive sides to having, you know, to vitamin D supplementation. He kind of downplayed it a little bit, but he at least was forced to answer a question about it. That's the only time I've ever heard it, but at least I can say he has mentioned it. But I think it's shocking in the fact that they will not mention. What about vitamin C? Is that another important one during cold and flu season and COVID season?
Yep, it's also anti-inflammatory and a potent antioxidant, so it also is a key player in the immune system, and so it can be used as a treatment also. That's controversial, these IV treatments of vitamin C, but right. Studies have shown that they reduce inflammation and provide antioxidant support in the body, and that's only a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, there were doctors in New York hospitals during the height of COVID, and they were using IV vitamin C treatments as part of their protocol and having good success. It wasn't widely reported, but they would be quoted kind of in either Natural Health magazines, or you just see them somewhere in some article that they were actually using those things. So those tools are there. Anything else on vitamin D?
Let people know the website that lists out all of the studies so they can go and check them out if they want. It's covid.us.org, and there's a lot of information there, and they're keeping up with the studies and vitamin D in particular. There's a great summary page with all of the study links, so that's a really nice resource.
Oh, that's good. I'll make sure I mark that myself. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back with one more segment. We're talking to Megan Pennington, an integrative health practitioner, a little bit about vitamin D, her practice, and just the idea of nutrition and staying well these days. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
Final segment for today. We're talking to Megan Pennington. She's an integrative health practitioner. So Megan, if people want to kind of start taking control of their health, what are some of the things that you see, and what's some of your kind of initial advice? We've talked a little bit about it today, but getting some of these tests, starting to identify what's causing you problems in the first place, just talking to somebody maybe who's new to the whole topic of natural health and how nutrition impacts your life. What is just in just a couple of minutes, your kind of your advice?
Well, a great place to start is just to clean up the diet. So usually, like a nice rule of thumb when we don't really have any testing or anything to go off of, is to reduce sugar, even carbohydrates, so grains and the grains, potatoes, these things that are predominantly carbohydrate, they can really increase our insulin release and our sugar levels. And so it's a great way to bring the immune system, the hormone system, because they're all connected, right? When you bring one into balance, it helps the other go into balance. So it's a really great way to get some traction. And then you can just kind of feel into that. And if there are other things that need to be done, then it's the deeper testing. So the food sensitivity testing, maybe some nutritional testing to see if you're deficient in something. And that's really the best place to start.
Oh, I tell you, the other thing too is when you make that first change, if people will switch to kind of organic, paying attention to the chemicals that are in their food. They don't know what chemicals are affecting them. They don't know how they're affecting them. But once you get them out, it's kind of like you take that first step. You just start thinking, oh, wow, you know, maybe you've got a little bit more energy. Maybe your mood's a little better. Maybe you start losing a few pounds. I think that's what, if you take that first step, it starts paying off very quickly.
Yes. You usually do feel quite a bit better because, like you said, you don't know why these things are causing what they're causing. You don't know what they're causing, but it's a really great experiment to see if you cleaned up your diet for a week and start. It doesn't have to be organic completely, but there's a environmental working group, Clean 15, where you can prioritize what you buy organic and what you can leave to just kind of the natural or the traditional methods, and just start paying attention to the amount of sugar and the amount of unhealthy fats, so the ones that are very heat treated and basically the ones that you find in a normal grocery store. So you want to try to go to a health food store. Going to the health food store is a great place to start because usually there's going to be someone there who can be like, this
right.
is what you should be focusing on, and it's free and you have all the products there, and that's probably the best thing people can do. And then once you start to see some results, then you can start to see some things clear up and feel better, and then you have the energy and the motivation to continue and go deeper.
Right. It's just a positive reinforcement loop. I mean, I experienced it myself. I couldn't believe it. When I did 30 days without any sugar, just after I'd done organic, I was feeling a little bit better. I did 30 days no sugar. All my headaches went away. I had headaches like 20 days out of the month, just a dull ache headache. And I just looked, and I didn't even realize it was happening. At the end of the month, I went, oh my gosh, I haven't had any headaches. So I went, aha, I think I figured out my headache trigger. So anyway, we're coming up to the end of the show. Tell us a little bit again about where to reach you, where your information is, and how people can work with you.
Mm-hmm. My website is meganpennington.com. And if someone is really struggling and really not sure where to begin, I offer a free 15-minute phone consult for people who are just like, I am experiencing all this stuff and I don't know what to do about it. There's also a free web class that I offer. So it's just the button up in the menu that says free masterclass. And it leads you through a lot of the basic pointers of what to do and how to get started if that's the preference.
Well, great. That's fantastic. Well, Megan, thanks so much for joining me again. That's meganpennington.com. That's all the time we got today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.